When a man says, take a break, honey, you are working too hard. He means, I can't hear the game over the vacuum cleaner. When a man says, that's interesting, dear, what he means is, are you still talking? When a man says it's a guy thing, he means there is no rational thought pattern connected with this, and you have no chance at all making it logical. When a man says, can I help with dinner? He means, why isn't it ready yet? When a man says, sure, honey, or yes, dear, he means absolutely nothing. It's a conditioned response. When a man says, you know how bad my memory is, he means, I can remember the theme song to Hogan's Heroes, the phone number of the first girl I ever kissed, the vehicle identification numbers of every car I ever owned, but yes, I forgot your birthday. When a man says, oh, don't fuss, I just cut myself, it's no big deal, he means, I probably have severed a limb, but I will bleed to death before I admit I'm hurt, so get over here and help me. When a man says, I can't find it, he means, it didn't fall right in front of me, so I'm completely clueless. When a man says, I heard you, he means, I haven't the foggiest clue of what you just said, but maybe I can fake it so you won't yell at me for the next 3 days. When a man says, you know I could never love anyone else, he means, I'm used to the way you yell at me and realize it could be worse. You ladies learning something? Amen. Don't hurt me bad, guys. When a man says, you look terrific, he means, please don't try on any more outfits. We're late and I'm starving. When a man says, I'm not lost, I know exactly where we are, he means no one will ever see us alive again. When a man says, I don't remember saying that, it's because he means anything I have said 6 months ago is inadmissible in an argument. In fact, all past comments become null and void after 7 days. When a man says, that's not what I meant, he means if something I said can be interpreted two ways, and one of the ways makes you sad or angry, I meant the other one. Amen? If your husband says, honey, what color is this? He means all men see in only 16 colors. Peach, for example, is a fruit, not a color. Pumpkin is also a fruit. And I have no idea what talp is. We thank God today for the good men in this building, folks. Let's give them a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. America in general is facing a crisis when it comes to fathers. One of the biggest threats to the generation of today is the breakdown of the family unit. That's because lifelong marriages provide the foundation for social order. Everything rests on those, everything of value rests on those underpinnings. Historically, when a family begins to unravel, everything else is adversely affected. 70% of black babies and 20% of white babies are born in North America. They're born out of wedlock. 70% and 20%. Most of them will never know their fathers or a father's love. Only one-third of the children born in North America will live with both biological parents through the age of 18. So how does this break down for us? What does this cause? 85% of children with behavioral disorders are from fatherless homes. 71% of high school dropouts are from fatherless homes. 70% of teen pregnancies are from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists are from fatherless homes. 75% of teen patients in drug abuse centers are from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in correctional institutions are from fatherless homes. 85% of youth in prison are from fatherless homes. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 50 years ago, we believed poverty and racial discrimination were primarily responsible for juvenile crime and behavioral problems. Now, nearly all of the evidence points to the family breakup as the real culprit, and it predicts a societal catastrophe if we don't turn this trend around. 72% of North Americans agree. They say the physical absence of fathers is the most serious problem facing our families. So, Dad, how can you buck the trend? The answer is simple. By totally committing your life to Jesus Christ and raising your family to be the same. Christian fathers do not lie. They do not steal. They do not lust or covet. Christian fathers do not serve the God of money. Christian fathers do not sire and then abandon their children. Christian fathers do not cheat on their wives. Christian fathers do not send their kids to church. They take them. Christian fathers have a real relationship with God, and you will find them reading the Bible to their children and praying with them. The greatest need in America today is united homes, where Jesus is exalted. The greatest need. Statistics prove that the family unit is in trouble. But thank God there's still time to turn things around. And brothers and sisters, we must believe that until the day we're taken up. Amen? We have to turn this thing around. We must bring America's men back to the Lord, bring them back to the Word of God, and back to God's plan for men. And I believe the church must wake up and play its part in this revival to see a resurgence of good men in the lives of their families. I'm so thankful that Turning Point Church been blessed with good men. Men that love and serve the Lord. Let's just holler out hallelujah a minute. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah, hallelujah for our men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want to see what the Bible has to say about good men. Amen? All right. First of all, a good man has learned to lean on the Lord. A good man has learned to lean on the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. We must learn to lean, guys. Lean. that's probably more difficult than just those words portray, because men don't like to lean. Men like to stand. But the word says, trust the Lord and lean. A good man saved by leaning on the Lord. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, lest anyone, any man, should boast. One of the downfalls that is typical of men is that they need to be in control. They need to make it happen. Often ladies find it easier to rest in the Lord or lean on Him. That's because it's part of a woman's nature to place themselves in someone else's hands. But it's not that way for men. Jesus solves this dilemma in Matthew 18, verse 3. He says, surely I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Children have the attitude of trust, even male children. But something happens to us once we begin to feel even the slightest amount of thickness on this peach fuzz. I thank God for good men who have learned to lean on the Lord. A good man obtains strength from leaning on the Lord. Isaiah 40, verse 30 and 31 says, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Psalm 147, verse 10. He does not delight in the strength of a horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. A good man will obtain his strength through a relationship with God. And he comes to realize that only the Lord can provide the strength necessary to handle all the responsibilities of being a husband and a father. A good man receives all his needs by leaning on the Lord. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Every man wants to be the breadwinner, the mighty warrior, the hunter. But ultimately, a man must see himself as a child of God, resting in His hands and receiving His divine protection and provision. A good man leans on God to provide reasoning and wisdom. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. I thank God this morning for good men. I thank God this morning for good men who have learned to lean. It's my prayer that every man here today recognizes that there's no way he can instruct his children or grandchildren appropriately unless he has first been taught by the Master. Wisdom comes from the Lord. Wisdom comes from the Lord. Secondly, there are good men who have learned to lead. To lead. If a man is ever to lead, he must allow himself to be led by the Lord. If a man's ever to lead, he must allow himself to be led by the Lord. And to begin with, good men must learn to lead their flesh. Galatians 5:16-17. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. My favorite scripture, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Men, when you allow Jesus to lead your thoughts and actions, then you will have the ability to control those fleshly desires. Then your life will honor him, and you become an example to your family and loved ones. So guys, let's take charge. Let's take charge. Let's lead our flesh so that our flesh won't lead us. Then good men lead their families. Good men lead their families. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Headship is not being the big boss. It's a loving relationship. We know that God is no respecter of persons. Women are equal in his sight. But the Bible says that she is the weaker vessel. This is not an insult. It's a compliment to the ladies. She's not less valuable. Rather, she's more fragile and in need of strong yet loving relationship. Women are like fine silk, and men are more like corduroy. Silk and corduroy. Which is more fragile? Which is more valuable? The answer to both of them is silk. In God's wisdom, he's given each family a head, because anything with two heads is a monster. Amen? But men, your leadership is not a privilege as much as it is a responsibility. Amen? The hardest thing you ever do is to be a good husband to your wife and a good father to your children. In 1 Samuel 3:13, we see that Eli could run the temple, lead his men. No, he could run his temple, but not his family. In 1 Kings 1:5-6, see that David could run his kingdom. He could lead his men into battle, but he could not run his children. So we lead our flesh and our family. Good men also lead the fallen to Jesus. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 7, but like men, Adam, they transgressed the covenant. There they dealt treacherously with me. Romans 5:12, therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because they all sinned. Romans 5:18-19. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Good men will help lead others into righteousness. Good men will help lead others into righteousness. That's why God left us here instead of taking us home the minute we were saved. He was dependent on the good men of this world to show others the way of salvation. 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I thank God for our good men who have learned to lead the fallen. And finally, good men have also learned to love. Good men have learned to love. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So good men start by loving the Lord. Good men begin by loving the Lord. When God opens our eyes to the truth of His love and grace, we are compelled to respond. How can we not love the Lord who so willingly went to Calvary and suffered a horrific death so that one day we might gather together in His eternal home? 1 Corinthians 16:22 says, if anyone does not love the Lord Jesus, let him be accursed. And then he says, Maranatha, O Lord, come. Come. Then good men love their families. God admonishes every husband to love your wife. Love your wife. This may seem a little strange. Some would say, if I didn't love her, I wouldn't have married her. But wait a minute. Love, as it's used here, means far more than affection. It means more than the emotional feeling or satisfaction. It means that you or I are going to seek the welfare and happiness of the person we profess to love. That means that I will make every effort to ensure that the object of my love is happy, secure, and comfortable. This admonition goes far beyond just telling the husband to love his wife as long as she remains beautiful. Which reminds me of a story. A man was talking to his wife after she had done something that he did not approve of. He said to her, how can you be so beautiful and stupid at the same time? That's tough, isn't it? Men's words usually crush. But this lady had a great comeback. She replied, God made me beautiful so that you would love me. And He made me stupid, so I'd love you. Whoa. Finally, good men love the fellowship. They love the church. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Jesus gave his life for the church. He lived and died so that he might have an everlasting relationship with his family. With his family, folks. Good men love their family so deep that they would sacrifice anything for them. There is no place they would not go, nothing they would not do to benefit those they love. Good men will love in the same way that Jesus loves. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Acts 2:41, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. In verse 47 of Acts 2, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Good men have learned to lean. Good men have learned to lead, and good men have learned to love. I thank God for the good men I know, for the good men in this church. There's always room for a few more. Ezekiel 22:30, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall or a hedge, stand in a gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. Have to be a good man before you can be a good father. I was blessed with a good father. A lot of people are not. A lot of men copy their fathers. And that could be good or bad. But what we need is people that will respond to God. Respond to Jesus and be filled with the Holy Spirit. To act the way, behave the way, look the way that the Lord Jesus wants us to be. Wouldn't this place be wonderful if we were all like Jesus? Well, one day we're going to be in a place where we'll all be like Jesus. But today, we got some rough edges. Men, I'm proud of every one of you here. Good guys. And your influence can help others to be good guys. And if we're good guys, we can be good dads. So many things pulling at you. Even, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to anyway. Even our flesh, God designed us for that beautiful woman that He gives us in marriage. But our weakness is that men get excited from seeing things. They're visually stimulated. So that beautiful gift that God's given us, Satan uses to hurt, to even destroy relationships. We've got to turn it over to the Lord. We've got to turn it over, guys. That's just one thing. There's a lot of things that men have to be careful about. We want to strike out. We don't like anything taking advantage of us. We're warriors. We're defenders of our family. I remember one time I better not say that. Let's just say I came busting out the front door after some kids. And I almost caught them. Then come find out I had guns. I didn't have anything. Didn't matter. My son, we moved to the house where we live now. My son had saved his money. Bought a fancy pair of sunglasses. So he's out in the neighborhood and his teenage boys come take his sunglasses. Comes and tells me. And I said, "Where are they?" A group of four of them. So I confronted them, all of them bigger than me. I got his sunglasses back. But that thing could have gone awry. The other thing could have gone awry. And it could have been really bad. But that's the way a man is. He's going to do things to protect his family. So God's got to intervene. God's got to take care of us, guys. He put that spirit in us, but He wants it controlled by the Holy Spirit. Guys, we live in a world that's out to hurt you. But we're not going to let it. And we're going to take care of our family. We're going to watch over them, love them, love the people we're with, love Jesus. Amen? And be good men that are good fathers. Amen. Well, I've given you enough to think about. And I don't know, you know, Mother's Day is the busiest day of the year for restaurants. Father's Day, they don't even expect a crowd. Years ago when they had collect calls, that's what Father's Day was all about. They set the record for most collect calls. Isn't that something? Yeah, before cell phones. God's good all the time, and I'm declaring the men in this place is good and all the time. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Good to see Brother Norman this morning.